The Is It Just Me Fridays roll on. We'll get back to the text line in just a second. Speaking of Russ, we got into his quotes yesterday to Outkick.com, in which he really aligned himself with Patrick Mahomes, didn't he? Wanted to get himself some of that Patrick Mahomes musk on him, because he said, quote, "For me to be able to go to back-to-back Super Bowls and win one of them, I think opened up a lot of doors. Now you see guys like Patrick Mahomes who won it. It's really just us so far, but there's more to come."
Okay. This is, by the way, that statement right there is why every dude that played defense in Seattle hates his guts. Well, hates his guts might be too harsh, but dislike him. Because that team and that defense carries you to a championship. But, you know, I'm just one of the very few that was able to take my team to a championship.
Then there was the pioneer nature of these next comments. "What I love to see is guys getting drafted early, and that a lot of teams these days have black quarterbacks playing for them. It's all across the league, and it's showing how the National Football League is starting to evolve, change, and break down barriers. I think one of the biggest blessings of my career so far is that I've been fortunate to be able to open up doors for others because of what others did for me." Now, thank God he threw that last line in there, because he was looking like a real toolbox up until that point. But at least he got that last line in there. How about Chris Harris Jr.? Perhaps you've heard of him. No fly zone?
Mm-hmm.
He responded to Russ's comments by tweeting out, "Vic, Vince Young, McNabb, McNair, Culpepper, Moon, 3?"
He left out Doug Williams, was the first black quarterback to win a world championship, and a guy that I played with. And I will tell you, one of the great moments of my career was with Doug Williams. And I've told you this before, man. I'm sitting as a rookie on the bus, going to make my first start in Philadelphia, the number one defense in football, scared to death. I mean, it's trickling down my leg. He walks onto the bus, Doug Williams, walks by me. I can feel him stop. He backs up, pats me on the shoulder. I take my headphones off. And he says, "Let me just tell you right now," he goes, "the only difference between you and them is they got this chance to make a name for themselves." And he goes, "Today, you're going to make a name for yourself." He goes, "You're going to be awesome. I have no doubts." And I tell you what, I went from, you know, being scared to death to feeling like, man, the guy's got my back. And Doug Williams is salt of the earth, and you know, went to Tampa and got beat up for years, and then went to Washington and won that championship. And yeah, like recognize the dudes that really did it before you, the guys that gave everybody a chance. And so, I don't know, like everything else, it just feels so freaking disingenuous.
Texter, just text it in. "Guys, you're missing your chance." You're right, Texter. Russell Wilson's smear campaign rolls on.
How long has that been?
It's been since what?
Well, when about like 40 days or something?
We're not that deep into it. When did we start? I think we started it
56 days ago.
It's been about a month. Yeah,
it's been about 56 days, right?
56 days. Well, we went about 3,500 days with the Paxton Lynch smear campaign.
Let's just make
do
it.
Do the math,
let's
folks.
Let's just make it an
do
even 100. Let's say it's an even 100, Johnny. 100. The 100.
"Is it just me, or you guys should change your name to 104.3 The Russ? Can we please stop talking about Russ?"
No. First off, we're 104.3 The Patron.
True. This week.
Oh, yeah. Good job. 104.3 The Patron.
Hello, friends.
Or do we have to do the 104.3 quietly, too? 104.3 The Patron.
Yes. That's right. We're not the fan.
No.
Because they don't call them the fans.
No, they're the patrons.
I was watching some of the Masters coverage yesterday, and Laura Rutledge is doing the Masters for the first time.
Uh-huh.
She was down there. And she nailed it. She got patrons right, all everything, because the whole time I'm like, don't screw up. It's your first time there. Don't slip up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't slip up. Don't call them the fans. Because then You'll never get invited back.
Right.
So she did great.
Well, good for her.
ESPN's coverage is awesome. Andy North, you want to tell your Andy North story? So those of you who watch golf coverage, Andy North has been a staple of ESPN's, ABC's golf coverage for decades.
Right, and I never met Andy North before. And I grew up in Alaska. I never played golf. I didn't really ever watch golf. Nothing. So I'm at ESPN in the newsroom, one of my first years at ESPN, summertime, and, you know, I'm just standing in the newsroom, and Andy North walks up, and I was talking to, I think it was Wingo or somebody, about golf, something about golf, and I'm like, I just don't know. I cast, and, you know, and Andy North is just kind of walking by, and he's listening, and he says, you know, I got a couple drills for that. And I go, oh, you know something about golf? You're a good golfer? And he goes, yeah, I know a little something. And Wingo just looks at me and goes, you're a freaking idiot.
Guy won two U.S. Opens.
Yeah, he goes, this is Andy North, two U.S. Open
champions. Here at Cherry Hills.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't know. I don't know Andy North. So, Andy gave me a couple tips. Didn't help.
No.
He's a good golfer. He's a horrible teacher.
Uh-huh.
He didn't fix my game.
Uh-huh.
He did not fix my game in the newsroom, which is like, if you can't fix my game in the newsroom, then what's wrong with you as the teacher?
Guys, is it just me? You should never stop the rust smearing. It'll take years of venting to get through this. The guy, we still bash Josh McDaniels to this day.
Yeah.
Hurricane Josh, as he's not so affectionately called, for the damage that he wreaked here. And so if we could continue to bash Josh McDaniels however many years after the fact, damn straight we're going to do it with Russ, because Russ created even more damage.
All my Vandal buddies, because we did this on the Stinkin' Truth podcast and we talked about this stuff. And so I posted a little something today on social media and all my Vandal buddies picked it up and put it in our Vandal text group. They were like, he wouldn't last 2 seconds at Vandal Weekend. We'd just be crushing it. Like, that's what he needs. He needs some good, old-fashioned, hard, honest love from a group of guys who aren't afraid to call him on his BS.
And I won't lie. I mean, part of what drives my smearing and my refusal to let it go is I'm scorned.
Right.
Russ, the damage, the hurt.
Yeah, you tricked
the,
me.
The fact
I had
that
to
you,
go on.
You're right. The fact that we
fell for it.
We got hoodwinked. We fell for the banana in the tailpipe. We fell for the big con.
Yep.
We got conned.
I go on Seattle radio every week.
And I can't get over
right,
it
yet. Every week during the regular season. And we get on there and I'm just like, you guys got me. You got us. You guys got us. You sold us a lemon. You knew it. You know, I just like how you kept it a secret, how we fell for it. You got us.
I know.
Have you guys ever heard the quote? I think it's, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
That's like you guys.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Hell hath no fury like a Bronco fan scorned.
Yeah. Right.
And Russ scorned me.
And I will never ever give up this platform till we find ourselves a franchise quarterback.
Correct.
I mean, this has gone so deep that, you know, we gave up on Paxton and then we brought Paxton back, the smear campaign.
Right.
And then we realized that our fury was directed at the wrong person.
Correct.
So then we nixed the Paxton smear campaign and 100 days ago today.
This thing keeps growing.
Yeah. We went back to,
it's like the telephone game.
Right. To start on Russ.
We're giving out best texts and worst texts of the day.
Oh, yeah. I forgot
this
about
one.
That.
This one is my leader in the clubhouse, golf term, for best text of the day.
Okay.
Is it just me, or when did Joel Klatt's voice turn into Colin Cowherd? Yes. I knew I had heard. I knew I was in the back of my brain as I was listening to Joel talk on his podcast about J.J. McCarthy. I'm like, where
let
have
me,
I...
Can, let me hear let, a little...
Tell okay. me if you don't hear, because he all goes right. on with Colin all the time, right?
Right, he's on with Colin all the time.
And texter, It's not just you. I knew something was bugging me in the back of my brain. I couldn't place it, but you're exactly right. Let's see if we can figure this out. What was the one that I think I heard it on? All right, well, let's just try. Well, here we go.
They've had teams that did what this team has done in every other facet other than crunch time, fourth quarter, can the quarterback go win the game? You know it's true. Michigan has had really great teams for a long time under Jim Harbaugh, but they didn't always have the quarterback that could raise the level of the team when they needed it most. And guess what? He was able to do that in the Rose Bowl against Alabama.
Ooh. A little bit, but there was another one. There was one where I really heard. Let me try this one. This is Klatt talking about J.J. McCarthy, future Bronco quarterback.
And I'll say, okay, I want to watch just J.J. McCarthy on third downs and 7+. And when you do that, basically hardest down to play as a quarterback. When you watch his cut up at third down 7+, it's like, wow. Why is he not a top five player? And you know what? Fair enough. Maybe I'm too low on J.J. McCarthy.
Right there. Yeah, I know. Texter, you're not alone.
Wait a minute. So it's like this. It's
how's it go? Because you got Colin Cowherd down.
What was it?
Third seven.
Yeah, I know. No. But I was just thinking, play that last one more time for me.
One more?
This one? It was something
else. And I'll say, okay, I want to watch just J.J. McCarthy on third downs and 7+. And when you do that, basically hardest down to play as a quarterback.
Right.
When you watch his cut up at third down 7+, it's like, wow. Why is he not a top five player? And you,
J.J. McCarthy, why is he not a top five player? When you watch his third and 7+, he is remarkable. The guy's just good. J.J. McCarthy's good. He is. He just is.
So he doesn't go full. But there is. Yeah. There's a little.
Right. There's
bit
a little bit of inflection.
A little bit of coward in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy is good. He is. He just is. Accuracy. Yes, he has it.
God, Fever, just say on air what you just whispered to me.
Right before you played the cuts, did you just label J.J. McCarthy as the Broncos' future quarterback?
That's right. Yes, speaking it into existence.
The J.J. McCarthy era starts.
Because I am buying all the subterfuge. So when Paul Allen, when did Paul Allen become the voice of authority on all things Broncos? But he came out and said that... Let me make sure I have the exact quote here. I don't want to quote him. He said, "Now this is a guy who is does Minnesota talk radio, and he's also the voice of the Vikings." He said, "Quote: They're so desperate out Denver way. I'm not kidding you, man. I wouldn't be surprised if it was we want that 3 so badly. We will give you 12. We will give you next year's first rounder. We will give you Patrick Surtain the 2nd. I'm not kidding you. They are that desperate." Where's the voice of the Vikings getting this from? So you ask yourself, all right, do we start trying to follow the breadcrumbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
George Payton. Those years?
Long time Viking.
But see, that to me, that's where this becomes then almost too obvious.
Right.
Like there's this idea that if their lips are moving, they're lying. This idea that you try to... Mm-hmm. Get people looking over here so that you can do your business over here.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. That just seems too obvious, right? Because anybody, I just did it, right? Oh, well, Paul Allen, Minnesota. George Payton used to be in Minnesota. Oh, he's getting it from George Payton, so there you go.
Yeah.
But that's almost like too obvious.
It's too easy, right?
Like if this was a crime drama, it'd be like, no. This is too obvious. It's somebody else.
Yeah, that's how they always do it in the movies or the crime dramas. They always have the one dude that doesn't have an alibi, and that's their number one suspect, and they go off digging, and they just can't quite, you know, they don't quite have enough evidence to actually get a search warrant, and then all of a sudden something breaks, and you're like, aha! It wasn't him. It's the other guy. And that's when you know, they finally catch the other guy and they rip off the mask and he says, "I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids." That's how they all go down.
That's right. Every crime show ever eventually gets back to the premise of Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly how it works. You know it.
It's a time-tested model.
It's a tale as old as time.
Scooby model.
Zoinks! Zoinks!
It's the Phantom.
Zoinks! Zoinks, Shaggy! Where's Scoob?
Oh, I think I just peed a little. That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, that was. I didn't know you had that in you.
I don't know that I have that in me again. That was a good one. It just kind of came out.
Is it just me? The reason you two idiots are so angry at Russ is because you were the biggest fanboys and you got totally pantsed and embarrassed. I tried to tell you Russ wouldn't work out, and so did all of Seattle, and you mocked us. Karma, baby.
Who is that? Who is that guy?
No name.
No name.
Call him no name.
Figures. You're the worst text of the day. The worst because it hurts a little bit.
Well, because he's right.
I know he's right. I know he's right.
I mean, we weren't the biggest fanboys.
Here's where I got duped. Do you want me to tell you where I got duped? Seattle and the coaching staff lied to me.
They lied to you?
Yeah, they never told me how much they couldn't stand him. So I should have picked up on it when there wasn't like, oh, he's the greatest thing. You know, he's like, oh, you know, we work hard and we're doing this and defensively. And so we should have picked up on it. But so I feel like I was duped from the beginning. Seattle, don't play poker with anybody who works in the Seattle Seahawks organization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll get you. They'll bluff. They will get you. So that got me. And then the other thing I got on is you worked my sense of football sensibility and pride against me. Because the way you guys phrased it was, well, he's lost his athleticism and now he can't play. And I'm like, whoa. I've watched him and I've called his games. He hasn't lost a little bit, yes. But has he lost so much athleticism that he's not going to be able to play? That's stupid. But the narrative was he no longer can play because he's not as athletic as he was when he was young. Right? That was the narrative. And I just thought that's you know, poppycock. And that's where I kind of bowed my back a little bit.
Yeah.
And what I, you know, come to realize really digging in is it had nothing to do with athleticism. I was right on that. It had to do with lack of acumen, lack of understanding.
To the texture's point, you are right in one. You are right in this regard. And this is something that does bother me because I do wish I had listened to my instincts because once the trade was made,
mm-hmm.
I was caught up in the euphoria like everyone else.
Yeah.
This is not a drill. I was caught up in all of it.
This is not a drill.
Happy times are here again. Mm-hmm. We found our guy. Yeah, who wanted that Rodgers guy anyway? We got it better with this, right?
Right.
He's younger. He's going to play longer. Right? Yeah, but then after the immediate euphoria, you and I were talking about it. I was like, I remember distinctly saying on this show, it does bother me a little bit, the stuff that's coming out of Seattle. It's kind of got that vibe of, hey, you know, why is this guy a free agent? Why is the team that knew him the best willing to let him go, especially at a position like quarterback, especially with all the success that he has had? That kind of makes me a little nervous. Oh, well, never mind. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
George Payton knows what he's talking about. Yay, yeah. Russ. So, yes, Texter, you're right. Russ scorned me.
Let me ask you a question.
I got scorned.
Yeah.
With everything that we know now, all the context and everything, would you have rather gone through what we had with Russ or Aaron Rodgers in all his offseason nonsense, all that kind of stuff?
Oh, I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is an absolute.
Aaron Rodgers could play.
He's a stone cold killer.
Achilles injury and all.
Yeah, well, we were supposed to get him a year before.
Right.
So, or 2 years before. So, yeah, I would have taken Rodgers. And I would have, even then, I would have taken, like, Russ, we got excited about Russ because we didn't get Rodgers. We're like, well, that's the next best thing. And it turned out to be.
I think it's an absolute bum.
Yeah. It was. It was awful. And, you know, I'll deal with the ghee butter enemas and everything else.
Exactly. Like, and the conspiracy.
Who hasn't had one of those, by the way?
He's colorful. Like,
who has not?
What?
Who has not put some ghee butter between their cheeks? I know I have. I like ghee butter, by the way. Ghee butter's delicious.
Every once in a while, I get, you know, normally I get sent on the grocery run by my wife.
Yeah.
It's usually just Safeway, King Soopers, whatever. But occasionally I'll get sent.
Dude, but it takes you five times longer than it takes
her. Oh, do you know?
Do you know
how many times I call her or text her during the course of send pictures? Do you mean this?
Yes.
You know, is this the
same? I can show you my text line with my wife.
It's
same thing.
So bad.
Yeah.
And so, but every once in a while, I'll get like diverted to a place like Whole Foods or something.
Right.
And I have no idea where I'm going in Whole Foods, right?
Right. So, bunch of hippies in there.
So,
braided armpit hair. So, you know the deal. Right?
Yes.
You know
yes.
the type.
Ah, yes.
All right. So, go ahead.
Story as old as time.
Story as
braided
old as
armpit
time.
Hair. So
yeah,
I'm
your own soap in the corner.
So I'm in this one. I'm in the butter aisle or the whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I see ghee butter. And Mark, true story, I just burst out laughing.
Right.
I just start laughing. I mean, the hippies walking by must have been like, what is wrong with this guy? Because I just burst out laughing. Ghee butter.
Ghee butter. Right
ghee
there.
Butter, right
in
there.
All its glory.
Yep, all its glory.
I love ghee butter. I just like butter. So.
Is it just me or is this all Zach Pye's fault? No, it's not Zach's fault. He was conveying the excitement we were all feeling. But Zach had a great. I was listening to the drive yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You guys got this ready to go. So this was Zach raising this question. I thought it was a really cool question. So I'll let him lay out the question, the parameters, and then we'll respond. Here you go.
I think the argument for John Elway in like a mock trial setup, if there was like lawyers and you're like building a case, I think John's argument against Jokic would probably be a losing argument. I think Jokic is the right side. If things break the way that we think they're going to break, that he gets his third MVP here, that's going to happen. And then they go and win a championship and he wins finals MVP. I think Nikola Jokic would be the single greatest athlete in the history of Colorado sports. And I don't, I think it would be pretty straightforward. I really believe that. In my heart of heart, I'm serious. It's a heart attack.
We're spoiled to have Jokic here.
So Zach made the point on air. Then he put out a poll question. In a couple of weeks, Jokic will become the ninth player in NBA history to have three MVPs. If he goes on to win another title, along with the finals MVP, will he have surpassed John Elway, Joe Sakic, and every other Colorado athlete of all time? How do you think the voting broke down? He got almost 1,200 votes on this, and the two choices. Yes, Jokic will be the Colorado GOAT. No, there'll still be more work to do. This is assuming he wins the MVP,
they win another title,
and he wins finals MVP. What do you think the breakdown was?
I'm going to say, wow. Because when you say it like that, if it's just in a sports context, then I would say, right, it's close to 50%. I think it would be 48% would say yes.
That he's the GOAT?
Yeah.
No, you're wrong. By a long
70%?
69% said he'd be the Colorado GOAT.
Right.
31% no, still more work to do.
Okay, so, but see, the problem with that for me is context. And context is important when you're having a GOAT. If you're just saying.
What, hold that thought.
Okay.
I want to dive into this a little bit more. And we'll do that, get your reaction as well. It's a great question. So this is the hypothetical. Jokic wins the MVP. Nuggets win another championship back to back. And he wins finals MVP. Is he now the Colorado GOAT? Sports GOAT. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Well, the debate continued during the break. Jumping on the topic that Zach Bye raised yesterday on The Drive. 2-6 here on The Fan with Philip Lindsay. They have a brouhaha coming up.
They do have a brouhaha coming up. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you? Hey, sign me up for a brouhaha.
I had one in the 80s, and it was a big time fun.
Yes, yes.
Great brouhaha.
And plenty of brouhahas at the Q's.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. So anyway, where are they going to be today?
Who knows? No.
First stop next week.
Oh, next week is their first stop.
Edgewater Beer Garden.
Edgewater.
Going to be there Friday, April 19th from 2 to 6. Head to denversports.com/drive for more details. Anyway, Zach raised the question, when Nikola Jokic wins his third MVP here coming up in a couple of months, and if the Nuggets go on to win another championship this year, and if Nikola Jokic wins the finals MVP with that championship, will he have surpassed John Elway, Joe Sakic, and every other Colorado athlete of all time? And he ran a poll in which 69% said yes, he would be the Colorado GOAT. But you said that some context needs to come into this conversation.
Well, I think that in regards to the Colorado GOAT, I mean, you could probably make a pretty compelling argument that if you broke up the four professional sports leagues, and I'm not, don't get at me with lacrosse or soccer or whatever else you're going to get at me with.
Why'd you have to change your voice like that?
Because
why
I know
did it
how,
have to become dripping with sarcasm?
I know voice? How soccer guy is, you know. What about the Rapids? Yeah, okay, all right, settle down.
I love it when you do that.
Yeah, but if you went with a four major, you could make a compelling argument that over the last 40 years of the Nuggets' existence, they've been dead last when it comes to the popularity of their game compared to the other four sports. And there's no question that the Broncos ran this thing. But let's face it, the Broncos got their first national attention and really put Colorado on the map sports-wise in 77 when they had the Orange Crush defense. And they went to the Super Bowl and got, you know, beat by the Cowboys. But they really, really entered the national sports realm and became appointment television and somebody that could always guarantee a number, you know, a television number across, you know, every coast. West Coast, you know, Central, here in the Mountain Time, and on the East Coast in the afternoon slot, the Denver Broncos did that. And why? Because they had John Elway. And John Elway was, you know, must-see television before guys like Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson and all. So he really put Colorado, forget about just the Broncos, he put Colorado on the map when it comes to professional sports.
That's what makes this a nuanced conversation, because if you're just looking at it from a accomplishment standpoint, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If Jokic and the Nuggets do what Zach's laying out here, yes, Jokic is now the greatest athlete in Colorado history. You can't, his resume tops everybody else's. Three MVPs, two finals MVPs, two championships, back to back.
Right.
Now, John won his two championships. John won back-to-back. John was a Super Bowl MVP. But I think you'd have to say at that point, Jokic surpassed even Elway. But there is that element. He did put Colorado on the map. And let me tell you from first-hand experience, I'm an East Coast guy. I'm an East Coast kid growing up, right? Big sports fan, East Coast kid. And no lie, the only two things I thought about when I heard the state of Colorado was, you know, occasionally we'd have like some, you know, rich kid in our school who would go out to Colorado over winter break and ski and come back with like a veil patch on their jacket.
I say the powder was extraordinary.
Right.
Like that.
Basically. Or.
Do you guys beat him up?
Or the Mork and Mindy TV show.
Right. That's what it was. Nanu.
It was based in Boulder, right? So
right.
That was it. And then John Elway.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos.
Yes.
That was it. So, you know, for a lot of people, depending on where you grew up, especially, you know, the farther away from Colorado you were, East Coast, South, Southeast. Face it, if somebody said, what do you know about Colorado? Oh, John Elway and the Broncos. So yeah. That's a powerful, powerful thing. So when you put that into the conversation, I don't know if anybody can ever surpass Elway.
Okay, let me throw this at you.
If you're going to include that.
Right, if you put this on into context on the text line here from 6173, this is pretty good. But Mark, your point about Elway, he brought national media to the state of Colorado. Nikola Jokic has brought international media to the state of Colorado as well. So he's put them on the map internationally. Does that?
Well, I guess I could argue, and I'll ask you for your firsthand experience. Weren't the Broncos an international brand when you were playing for the Broncos? You guys played in...
That's a good point. You're right.
You guys played in Australia?
We
played in Tokyo?
It was part of Mr. Bolin. Now, he was on the television committee forever, but part of Mr. Bolin's legacy was... I want to be out there as an organization, and every year I want to play in the international series. So we played in Japan. We played in, like you said, we played in Australia. We played in Mexico City. Like in my years here. And before that, they went every year somewhere. So, yeah, and a lot of that was because the NFL wanted the Broncos in there because of why? They had John Elway. So you could say that he was at the forefront of expanding the NFL to become an international brand. And now you see all these games in London, and you know it's only a matter of time before they move. And by the way, you know, the NFL has a bunch of leagues. My next-door neighbor just went out to, it's some, like, Spain or one of those, you know, swarthy places. Spain or
Swarthy
or Italy is it could be Italy. Milan, is that in Italy?
Yes,
one of those. But they have professional football out there,
do they?
And in Germany they've got a league. And
but we're getting kind of caught up in the weeds here. This started off talking about,
I like this,
this started talking off about Colorado, but if you want to talk about who's the bigger international name, it'd be Jokic. NBA.
Yeah,
as great as the NFL is and as powerful as they are here, they don't have the same kind of worldwide flex that the NBA does.
Yeah, Jokic.
So Jokic is far more of an international name, right, than Elway.
Yeah, every year he goes to Russia for like 3 weeks on the bear wrestling circuit. That's just fact.
That's big. This one on the RamosLaw.com text line. No, no, no. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I don't care how many championships Joker wins. An NBA championship will never be near as important as a Super Bowl.
See?
It's coming from our guy Mickey.
He's got a point.
Who I know is a big, big Nugget fan.
Yeah.
Huge Nugget fan. Although he hates Michael Malone.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys.
We got to downgrade. It's a great text, but we got to downgrade it because it comes from Mickey.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, so he gets downgraded automatically. So we can't. Is he in the running for the text of the day?
The worst text of the day,
or the best text,
or the
of
best
day?
Text of the day? But
that could be something we do. Is give the worst and best text to one person.
Well, okay. Does he make a point that if I'm just sitting back and saying, "What's going to generate more interest?"
Mm-hmm.
More eyeballs, more attention, a Super Bowl or an NBA final.
Duh.
Yeah, it's a Super Bowl. But here in Colorado, we just, if you're winning,
right,
then all of a sudden, these sports matter a lot. A lot. So,
for you, okay, just real quick, put a ball on it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the GOAT?
If this happens,
yeah.
Jokic. Jokic. Because.
Elway.
Because.
Elway. What about the youngsters? Wait, you guys, if that happens, Elway or Jokic?
I don't know. It's hard.
I go Elway. Easily.
Why?
More championships, drug lesser teams to those championships.
Not more championships. Same.
No, he went to more.
Well, two,
no,
like, appearances.
Okay.
Yeah.
He went to
same
five.
Drug
right.
teams that shouldn't have been there.
Right.
The original one to put Colorado as a state on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And it's football. Football's king here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's
if very, Jokic, you know, very, makes those same amount of appearances, we might have a real right. conversation.
So,
but,
you would vote with the idea that he's gaining ground, but still more work to do.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Rogue?
Rogue?
I think Elway has had a greater impact, but I think Jokic is a better play. Like, he's a more legendary player, you know.
That's very, very millennial of you. Nice effort there. Johnny, very Republican, conservative, smart, nuanced discussion by you, Johnny. I'll give you the boomer sticker of the day.
Yes. Yeah, there was actually a little bit of... I'm looking at a future boomer here.
Yeah.
Right now.
I like it.
I think he's going to make the trip.
Like, if you see this tear in my eyes, because I'm proud of the little yeah. fella.
I think he's going to make the adjustment to boomerhood quite yes. easily.
An yeah. old soul.
Yeah, yes.
Say.
There's an old soul inside you, Johnny Fever. An old soul. It's a great conversation. Keep the text coming. Ramoslaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. It's an Is It Just Me Friday. And, well, for those of you who want the Broncos to go get themselves some Michael Penix, you've got an ally. And you'll hear from him next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Wow, reaction pouring into the hypothetical that if Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets win another championship this year, and Jokic, who will be named the regular season MVP for the third straight time, or third time.
Should be the fourth straight time.
Should be the fourth straight time, but third time, and gets NBA Finals MVP for the second straight time. Does that vault him over Joe Sakic, Patrick Waugh, John Elway, Terrell Davis as the GOAT of Colorado sports? We'll get to that in a second. But as we are now, what? Well, 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now. We will know what the what the Broncos did in the first round with that pick.
Yeah.
Did they mortgage the future once again to move up? Did they trade back, accumulate draft capital? Or did they make a pick at number 12? And all the conversation surrounding the quarterbacks these days. And so always on the lookout for what reputable NFL people are saying about these quarterbacks, and I would put Phil Sims. I know, Broncos country. Phil Sims' name is mud around here for a lot of you, but he does know a little something about quarterbacking. Played it for a long time in the NFL, won a Super Bowl, and he loves himself some Michael Penix.
Man, it was awesome. I loved all of it. And yeah, he had a tough championship game. You know, Michigan was pretty good on defense, but yeah, I saw him as a freshman at Indiana, and he came in the game. I forgot the quarterback's name that was there, Peyton somebody, and I liked him. And I said, oh, my God, they're bringing in Michael Penix. They're going to ruin their quarterback, you know, position here. And then he threw a few passes, and he ran. I went, oh, I see why.
Sims on the Ross Tucker podcast. More praise for Penix as a possible NFL passer.
His throwing is unbelievable. One of the best just pure throwers that maybe I've ever seen. I mean, he can just make every throw. Played against Oregon in Washington. It's 30-mile-an-hour winds, and Brock Huard was doing the game, and Brock Huard's going, he was trying to explain, you just don't understand how good this throw was. It's 30-mile-an-hour winds here, and he's throwing it like there's nothing.
One more from Sims about bad weather Penix.
He played at Oregon State in a night game, pouring rain, and he is throwing missiles everywhere. And his receivers, because of all the rain, were dropping them. But, you know, so he's about as good a thrower as I've seen come into the NFL draft in a long time.
Now,
it's awesome.
I'm torn because I listen to somebody like a Phil Sims, and I certainly respect him. But then I listen to you, who I respect, and you're, what was the infamous comment you made about Michael Penix when you first broke him down on Telestrator Tuesday. I wouldn't draft him with your pick.
Right. And I just did not like the arm mechanics. I did not like the arm slot, and Michigan tore him up. Now, I went back subsequently and looked at a bunch of other film, and he does. I mean, he can spin it now. But, you know, that game in the games in Washington, or the games that they play, man, are so much outside the numbers. And I really get concerned about his inside the numbers throw, the number of blocks, the number of errant throws, or the number of batted down passes based on his three-quarter arm delivery. And I'm just telling you, you're not changing that. You know, they always try to change quarterbacks. And I even saw it with Drake May in his pro day versus what I watched on film. And obviously, I looked at Drake May and thought to myself, that dude was a pitcher when he's young. Because that's how they teach pitchers. You know, that a lot of that release, and it just depends on your arm talent or whatever and your slot that you throw from. But a lot of it is separate and get long on the backside. And there was a lot of that in his throwing mechanics, which concerns me. Because when push comes to shove, yeah, you know what? In shorts and a T-shirt, you can kind of change a little bit of your arm mechanics. But when you're under duress, that's coming back in there. And, you know, the same thing for Michael Penix. Can you make him a little bit more over the top? Yeah, but what do you lose? You lose accuracy. You lose some feel on the football and all that kind of stuff. And then ultimately, when you do get into those situations, you're always going to kind of revert back.
Hasn't the success of Patrick Mahomes kind of changed that idea that you can have different throwing motions? You can throw from different arm angles.
You don't have to
be textbook all the
time. No, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest arm angle thrower ever. But it's when you choose to do it. When you choose to drop down and throw it underneath somebody. When you choose to motor around and you have to based on the mechanics of the game and how the game's playing out, that you can have accuracy when you're dropping off platform. My thought process in the middle of the football field where the NFL has played, man, that dude's going to get a lot of block passes. I just did not like the way he threw the ball in that particular game. Going back and looking at it, yeah, he throws it better, way better than he did in that Michigan game. But there are still things that are true that you play outside the numbers so much in college, you're not going to get those windows open up. Why? Because the offensive line, the inside three set firm, the outside guys invite upfield pass rushes. So what does it do? It opens up a sideline window where you can throw three-quarter arm, where you can have completion success that way. I just, again, looked at him and I was like, that Michigan game really scared me. And then he's had four seasons where he missed the season full-time because of injury.
Well, four seasons where his season ended.
Right.
Four seasons that ended with an injury.
They ended. Well, he missed those
seasons. He missed all four of those seasons. Full seasons.
He missed a portion of those seasons.
Well, the end of those seasons. The portion was at the end.
Well, he got hurt and he had to miss
the rest
of the season.
Correct. But not all the season.
They sound like Paul Harvey. And now the rest of the story.
Okay, that
Paul Harvey. Good day. You remember that? Those are awesome. I used to love the Paul Harvey.
That's a very good impression.
I used to love those.
Not everybody. Look them up, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Look
them
up.
Do you guys know who Paul Harvey is?
They do not know.
Have you ever heard of Paul Harvey?
They do not know who Paul Harvey is.
Johnny, you?
It sounds familiar, but can't say that.
Even old soul Johnny Fever.
Right.
Yeah. Look him up. Great newsman.
He was a big time newsman.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I know who that is. He has that one really famous speech. It's like, if I were the devil or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. That's actually, I don't.
Oh, good for you.
I know things.
You are impressing me today. I'm very impressed by you.
There's layers to this.
There are layers. You know, at first I just thought you were, he is what he looks like. You know, what you see is what you get. But now I realize he does have an old soul.
When
I first started learning, there was more layers to Johnny. When I was like, what'd you do today? And he said, just smoked a couple of cigars with a six-pack out on the porch.
Right.
I was like, all right.
deep thinker, Mike.
Deep thinker. I like that. On the RamosLaw.com text line,
he was smoking cigars, drinking a six pack. I was sunning my yarbles the other day out on the porch.
Yeah, boy.
Exactly. Yin or greasy.
Wow, we get some. I'm surrounded by deep thinkers. Very profound. Hey, guys, if you threw John Elway in this era, he'd have 7 championships. If you threw Nikola back in Elway's day in basketball, it would be way harder for him.
Oh, that's a great text.
Hold that thought.
I want to investigate that one a little bit more. That might be the number one text.
Fan Flyaway's back. This time we're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the... I'm not gonna sound so lawyerly. To go watch the Joker and his team play for the ultimate prize. How about that? Is that good? There you go. What you get? You get 2 tickets to a game, round trip airfare for 2 from Denver to a destination to be determined. 2 nights hotel and $500. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered a fan flyaway, the one we did to the big game in February in Vegas, you're already automatically qualified for this one as well. So we'll tackle that text. More Is It Just Me's and what Mark has planned for tomorrow. Sounds like a fun day. You'll hear about it next.